Welcome to Webber Wentzel Legal Insights. With over 150 years of experience and deep industry knowledge, Webber Wentzel is the leading full-service law firm on the African continent.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to those listening. My name is Brian Dennehy. I'm the head of the tax team at Webber Wentzel. And here today to talk to you about debt and corporate restructurings and business rescue. Quite a complex topic, of course, and here to navigate the minefield of tax implications associated with a business reorg is my fellow partner, Kyle Baylings, who's joining me. Kyle, welcome.
Thanks, Brian, and happy to be virtually anyway to discuss this complex minefield.
Super, thank you.
Given the current economic crisis, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as the state of the South African economy over the last few years, we've seen a significant increase in debt and corporate restructures by South African corporates. It's no surprise that this trend has continued throughout the last few months and will most likely continue for the foreseeable future. Unfortunately, given the complexity of the tax rules relating to debt and corporate restructures, if these are not implemented correctly, this could very well result in additional taxes being payable as well. Obviously, this is not first prize for any corporate that finds itself in this situation. I suppose on the back of that intro, let's delve into debt restructurings. Based on the transactions that you've worked on, what are the types of debt restructuring mechanisms that are available to companies?
Thanks, Kyle. So I guess it does depend on what type of debt on balance sheet a lender might have, but you get debt waivers, debt conversions, a subordination of debt. You could have a conversion of debt into some sort of equity funding, for example, into pref funding or even ordinary share funding. So those are your typical types of mechanisms that you do see deployed, most often, but each one with their own bag of tricks then to unpack and look at in more detail.
Sure. I suppose over the last few years, you know, a lot of these have come to the fore. I suppose a follow-on question would then be, what are the pitfalls or issues that companies need to think about when undertaking a debt restructure?
Yeah, and this is really where a lot of the devil in the detail does lie. It almost seems a bit harsh in a sense that companies that are in distress and looking to go through a debt reorg process, if not implemented correctly, might end up triggering additional tax, which they can least afford to pay. But these are some of the challenges which are often faced. So, for example, if there is a waiver of debt by a lender in favor of a borrower, you could, for example, have a recoupment of interest or expenditure that might previously have been claimed as a tax deduction. Similarly, on a conversion of debt into equity, quite possible if the mechanics are not lined up correctly, that the conversion of debt to equity might in itself trigger a recoupment or even a capital gains tax charge for the actual borrower. So it's something which, in looking at it, we take a lot of time to plan quite carefully with our clients, look at what are the best routes to restructure debt, to potentially do a conversion of debt into equity, mindful of some of these traps and pitfalls which can inadvertently hit. And it's also an area which National Treasury and SARS, to their credit, have recognized as being a problematic area for quite some time, and they have introduced some rules over the last few years which do make it to a degree easier to facilitate debt restructurings, but still very much an area that does need quite a bit of focus.
Yeah, and I suppose, again, the tricky part is it brings you into the realm of potentially companies that are struggling, having to undertake a debt and a corporate restructure, but then potentially also picking up some taxes along the way, which, you know, as mentioned, is not ideal.
Exactly. And, you know, ignoring things too, like a recoupment of interest or expenditure previously claimed, or capital gains, which, as I mentioned, can arise for the borrower inadvertently on a conversion or a waiver of debt. With types of debt and pref and equity instruments which are created or restructured as part of a process like this, they are instruments which have been unfortunately exploited in the sense of anti-avoidance by some taxpayers over the years. So there's so much policing around, for example, whether debt will be treated as hybrid debt if it is given certain equity-like features as part of a business rescue reorg, or if pref funding as part of a restructuring has got too many debt-like features and it gets treated as hybrid equity, which if either of those two circumstances were to arise, could be very onerous on the part of the borrower.
Yeah, understood. I think that's a definite theme that's come through in the last couple of years, is the complexity of the tax legislation. I suppose something that is important to taxpayers and advisors alike.
Yeah, exactly. And Carl, maybe just a question for you is, you know, something which, as you know, we often see as part of debt restructurings pop up part and parcel of what we look at is not just restructuring the actual debt on balance sheet, but looking at ways in which corporates can also restructure certain businesses and almost carve out and dispose of, call it the bad or toxic part of the businesses, and ring fence the good part of the businesses to syndicated debt. What type of features and themes would you say are common and things to just bear in mind in that regard?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. I suppose to answer that question, we have to take a step back and just and understand our tax legislation around corporate entities a little bit more. South Africa's tax law, as it currently stands, doesn't recognize the concept of group taxation. Instead, we have rules which broadly apply where certain types of transactions are undertaken between a grouping of entities. Now, what this ultimately does is it delays or defers the payment of tax to a future date or event. These rules were introduced to mimic to some degree the concept of group taxation. You know, so simply put, an example of this would be where an asset is sold from one South African corporate to another, with both these entities being owned by the same corporate shareholder. Theoretically, anyway, because the entities form part of the same grouping, our rules allow for the tax payable to be deferred on such transfer until the asset is ultimately disposed of. You know, so we tend to see this theme that's evolved over time, where you do have group entities effectively moving assets between each other. You know, there are a couple of reasons why. I think one is as you've mentioned, as a consequence of a debt restructure, or two is just the complexity and the cost of having quite a big group with quite a few entities that sit within that grouping.
And I guess, like with regards to the restructuring of the debt itself, something too that if you don't get right, you can inadvertently pick up tax in a group that can ill afford to. So what would you see as the pitfalls, or just the points for corporates and clients to consider that are looking at a project like that?
Yeah, 100%. I think the requirements that you need to meet in order to get the benefit of a tax deferral is some degree of permanency to the group. You know, so for example, where you do have an asset transfer between companies, there's generally a requirement that those two entities continue to form part of that same grouping, or continue to hold the asset for a certain period of time. Now, those seem to have been introduced because of the potential abuse of these rules. So to answer your question, Brian, clients should, as a first port of call, involve their tax advisors in constructing a plan that will allow them to achieve their commercial and funding objectives. Very often, the guidance of a tax advisor can help taxpayers through the do's and don'ts of a corporate and debt restructure, for that matter. Sounds like a paid-for ad by Weber Wenzel. But on a serious note, as we discussed earlier, one of the last things that a company wants to worry about amidst the debt and corporate restructure would be the unintended tax consequences as a result of falling foul of the various tax rules.
Yeah, fully agree. Thanks, Carl. I think that brings an end to the podcast. Thanks a lot for your involvement, Carl, and thanks again to all those listening. I must just say, anecdotally, this is only the second podcast I've ever done. The first was a family podcast about 10 years ago, giving an assessment of the Springbok All Black game at Ellis Park that was played that year. This was definitely more complicated, but just as much fun. Hope to chat again soon. Cheers, everyone.
Excellent. Thank you, Brian, and thanks all for listening. This has been Weber Wenzel Legal Insights. Our executive producer is Paula Jones. This podcast is produced for Weber Wenzel by Volume. Thank you for listening.
You have been listening to Weber Wenzel Legal Insights. You can find and subscribe to the podcast on all major platforms. For more expert legal insights and updates, visit weberwenzel.com.